the 58th chapter of Isaiah. We're going to read down through the verses that we trust we can cover tonight. This title, the title of this, it has several divisions, which we'll give you in a little bit. The title of it is The Fast of God. We noted last night when we were listening to that tape, I love the way Sister Catherine brought the word out, but she didn't hurry. She gave the saints time to think and to ask questions, and it was precious. All right, this chapter corresponds with the book of Hebrews. We'll bring this in first. Hebrews is a contrast, tells of the types and the shadows, which are a contrast to the reality who is Christ himself. And this chapter speaks of the contrast between shadows and substance. So we see there quite a contrast in both of these books. In this chapter, in verses 13 and 14, we read here, let's read these verses that tell of this contrast. In 58, chapter of Isaiah, verse 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing my pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken this. And then let's go over to Hebrews and read the fourth chapter of Hebrews. This is regarding the rest. I think most of you have the outline on Isaiah, and that's where these scriptures are taken from. Brother Copley or whoever wrote those notes up. Hebrews 4, and we'll read verse 3, 9, and 11. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Then the 9th and 10th verses. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We read the 11th also with that. All right, then I will mention before we read these verses that these last chapters of Isaiah from this chapter to the end of the book, they continue to give the rebuke and the warning and the promise that God gave to the nation Israel. And all of this is written for our admonition also. All of the word is written for us. And I thank the Lord. I love the Old Testament. It has such types. I was reading something the other day, and he brought in about the types of Christ in the Old Testament. And he said it's like Christ is taken apart in the Old Testament. And I thought that was precious, because we see in the tabernacle that he is taken apart in all of those pieces of the tabernacle. All right, let's read down through the 8th verse. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, notice whose it is, it's not God's, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and do spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now we entered into the second division there in that eighth verse, but we wanted to go into that to end it up tonight. It's a precious verse. All right, this chapter is divided into three sections. Verses 1 through 5 is the exposure of the wicked way of the religious old man. The old man can be very religious. Exposure of the wicked way of the religious old man. And he's the same in any age. Then verses 6 and 7 is God's true fast is for deliverance. That's what he brings it for. And this is God's fast. This is the only place that we read of here that God gave a fast. What he was interested in really was the feast. That's what he gave. Then verses 8 through 14, God tells what follows when we obey God's word in 8 through 14. God tells what follows when we obey God's word. And I'm thankful that his word is true. Only thing that's true that's the only thing that's true and the only thing that's holy and pure. Praise the Lord. All right, we have some good things in here. So let's ask the Lord to help us to understand it and to enable us to give it out for his glory. All right, when he says cry aloud here, it's literally with full throat. It's a shrill shouting tone with all the strength of the voice. And of course this was told to Isaiah. And he says, show my people their rebellion, is what he's talking about here, their apostasy. This word transgression means their apostasy. And their sins, these things cannot be concealed from the Lord. The Lord sees everything. He sees their transgressions, their apostasy, and he sees the sin of the house, their sins of the house of Jacob. And he sees this in each individual that ever has lived, ever will live. He sees us as we don't see ourselves. And I praise the Lord for this. And then the second verse here, he exposes the self-righteousness of the nation Israel at this time, and now even. Israel is a very self-righteous nation. And we know in this book of Isaiah, in chapter 64:6, that God calls self-righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Outwardly, the second verse tells us that they conform to the ways and ordinances of God. And they delighted to approach him in their outward show. We see this everywhere today. Many are saved, and they go to church. They sit there on Sunday for outward show. We know this for a fact. And a lot of it's for business purposes that they go to church. They delight him. They wanted him to be delighted in what they were doing. And they use this as grounds, because they were doing this. They use this as grounds that he should make known to them the ways that he was going to take for their deliverance. In other words, he put them under obligation to them. They put him under obligation to them. And we don't do that with the Lord. We're under obligation to him. My man, go find this out one of these days. Their deliverance here, And here it's spoken of as an ordinance of justice, or in the Hebrew, it's just judgments of righteousness. The manifestations that will save them and destroy their enemies, this is what they even want now. They want their Messiah to come, religious even of Israel, the Orthodox we would call them. They want him to come and deliver them. They don't know he's already come and just waiting to do this. So they want him to come and manifest himself and destroy their enemies. He's going to do that, but not when they think he's going to do it. There's going to have to be a change in them first. They thought this was due them because of what their outward performance, their religious acts here in which they were doing, that it was due them. But their true condition we find over, let's read over in Ezekiel 33. This is true not only with the nation Israel, but it's true with any individual that wants to make, as one of the scriptures says, a fair show in the flesh. They want to outwardly look very religious, but in their hearts, they're as Jesus told, what was that? Inwardly, there is dead men's bones. I can't remember that scripture. This came to me. They're dead inside, in other words. They're white as sepulchers. That's what he talks about. All right, Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Do we see this today? For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and I like this, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? That really shows up, doesn't it? The condition of the nation Israel and many, many people today that are not even born again. They're, as we said, they're white as sepulchers. Over in John, the Gospel of John, and the 18th chapter, Jesus speaking here, 18:28. And if any of you have thoughts on this as we go through it, bring them in. I love Bible study, and I love for others to give us what the Lord, give what the Lord has shown to them in any of these scriptures. This scripture is quite a scripture. Here Jesus is before Pilate, and Peter had denied the Lord, and the cock had already crowed three times. And the 28th verse of John 18, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. What a scripture, isn't it? He was the Passover. He was the Passover. And they didn't going to go with him. They felt they were more religious and more whatever they thought, self-righteous is all it was, self-righteousness. But when I read those scriptures, I think of these individuals that are going to have to stand before this one. That's what I think of, is individuals that walk against the word and shun him. They're going to have to stand before him. And that's going to be a serious day for a lot of people. All right, in this third verse of Isaiah 58, God, Israel holds up their fasting here before God and complains that he does not see it or take notice. We read there, when, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and you don't see it. And have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, and Jesus speaks, God speaks here from the word behold. In the day of your fast, you find pleasure. they, as we said, they wanted him to be obligated to them because they fast. That was important for them, that they fasted in outward show. And we know that in their rebellion against the Lord, when the 10 tribes separated from the 2 tribes and they went north with Jeroboam, they added more days to celebrate. They set up their own idol, calf, that they set up at Dan and Beersheba, and they were told not to go down to Jerusalem, and they made their own feast days. They made their own fast days, and they added to this these days that God hadn't given them. So that's why the Lord says, this is your fast. It was worthless in the sight of the Lord. And during this season that we're going through now, and I thought of this, there's many of these religious churches today that are having, what do they call it? Lent. There's nothing scriptural about that. It's not in the Word. It's nothing. We gather from it that you have to withhold from doing something that you like to do or eat, and something you like to eat. That's the way I understand it. That's unscriptural. It isn't even according to the Word. Well, this is what they did. It was their fast. Even the afflicting of the soul was outward. This is quite a statement here, the afflicting of the soul. A little bit we're going to get into that. But from the word behold here, we see God speaks. And he says another rendition of this. He says, behold, on the day of your fasting, you carry on your business. Their interest was for self. And this individual makes others work for him, for his own interest, as we read here. Behold, on the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You want others to work for you. But their fasting, in the 4th verse, behold, you fast for strife and debate. This is what it led to, was strife and debate, or strife and quarreling. And it came to the place where they would even smite with the fist, maliciously, and the fist would be closed, in anger, in other words. It is not the kind of fast that God would hear, nor would it afflict his soul, these individuals' souls. It had nothing, it didn't go inside in where it should go. Their idea of a fast day was worldly, and it was selfish, and it perverted the true spiritual worship, and it filled them with the pride. This is what religiousness does. It fills the individual with pride. And so God, through Isaiah here, speaks that their fasting is not truly afflicting the soul. Now, I want to read some scriptures about this. Let's go over to Leviticus 16. This is a precious statement. Leviticus 16, and from the 29th verse, this is the result in Leviticus of the Day of Atonement. And we know on the Day of Atonement, it spoke of Calvary. And the rest and the result of the Day of Atonement was rest. Jesus brought us into a rest. So in Leviticus 16 and verse 29 through 31, let's read. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls. Notice what's afflicted. It's the inward part of man. And do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest, looking forward to Christ, see, a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And then over in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, we read also regarding this, 23 and the 26th verse through the 32nd. several times here it speaks about the afflicting of the soul. Verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, this is the Feast of Atonement, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For, see, this looked forward to Calvary. It speaks of what was they were going to enter into because of Calvary. There's nothing they could do to make atonement. That's why they were not to work. They were just to believe and obey the Lord. It is a day of atonement to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted, and there's that word again, in the same day he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul, and notice what God speaks to, it's the soul. It's not the body or the mind, it's the soul. That same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. This is speaking of Christ. And this rest that the Lord in type here what was bringing Israel into was purchased at a very, very dear price for man, for every man that has ever been in the world. It's been purchased for us and is not to be received lightly or with indifferent hearts. We're to acknowledge this rest and allow him to bring us into this rest. And when the Lord does, or when Israel does receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as Zechariah tells us, then is when, in Zechariah 12, and we're going to read that in a minute, the scales will fall from their eyes, just like it did the Apostle Paul when Ananias went to him and laid his hands on him, and the scales fell. Paul, there's a type. He was yet Saul, but it's a type of what's going to happen to the nation Israel when the hardness and the blindness is taken away from them. Let's read that in Zechariah. It's a precious scripture. It's one of my favorite. Praise the Lord. This time is so near at hand that when we read these scriptures, we can almost feel sometimes like we're already there. Praise the Lord. All right, the 9th verse, let's start there in Zechariah 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And this is rapidly coming to pass too. These nations are being put in place today by God. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And I'm going to stop there just a minute. This spirit of grace and supplication, and it's plural. This spirit is going to overwhelm their souls, and it's going to make their hearts soft and tender, and they will be convicted and will supplicate for the Lord's forgiveness. The Lord's going to do this to this nation, the remnant that's left. He's going to make their hearts soft. His grace, this spirit of grace and supplication, is just going to overwhelm them. And this is what it does to us today. When his grace and his love begins to take effect in our hearts, and he begins to speak to us, it just melts us. And this is what it will do to the nation Israel. They're going to be convicted of their sin, and they're going to supplicate then for the Lord's forgiveness. And this experience that they're going to go through is so precious. And it's necessary for fruit bearing. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. He works the heart over. He has to work our heart over. Because when we, our heart wasn't even set upon him. And when he, when he calls us and the word begins to work in our hearts, this word just works our heart over. And we begin to find out where our affection's set. Where is it set? Is it up on things above or things down here? All right, in the rest of this 10th verse. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This looking, when they look at him, it is with fixed attention, having revealed to them something they have never known before. Now that's what this word looking means. Their attention is going to be fixed upon him, and the Lord will reveal to them something they have never known before. And the piercing here, when Jesus was pierced, whom they pierced, this was a culmination of their insulting treatment of him when they pierced him. And they will mourn and be in bitterness, as it will be the sorrow and grief at having pained one who loved them so deeply and had forgiven them so freely. This is why the mourning is going to be so intense. They're going to realize he loved them with a love they had never known before. In First John 3, we read, "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." The world did not know that manner of love before when he sent Jesus Christ down. It was foreign to this world, and it's foreign to us until the Holy Spirit works his love in our hearts. It's foreign to us. So after the blindness is removed and the veil taken away, as Romans 11 tells us, and let's read that in Romans 11. Then the glory is going to be revealed to them. And it's going to be a marvelous day for this nation. In Romans 11. Romans 11 and the 25th verse. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be talking to Gentiles now, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness or hardening in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." This fullness of the Gentiles here speaks of the completion of the church, and that's very near at hand. "And so all Israel shall be saved," that is, the ones that are left, they're all going to be saved. "As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." That's going to be a wonderful time. That's when the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed to this nation, Israel, the one-third that are left. I love that, when their souls are going to be inflicted, the afflicting, and the Lord's going to get down into the depths of their soul, and they're going to realize just who this one was who loved them so deeply. Praise the Lord. And we find this out as we go on with the Lord, just how deeply he does love us. It's a love that no man can give us unless he's yielding to the Lord. It's the new creation love. It's nothing of the old creation. Natural man doesn't know how to manifest this love. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us all regarding that wonderful love. All right, are there any thoughts on any of this? It's precious to my heart. Any questions as we go through it? They're going to mourn and they're going to be in bitterness. And this grief is going to be terrible. If we read there in Zechariah, they're going to mourn every family apart. It's going to be so intense. All right, verses 6 and 7 of in Isaiah 58, there's 8 points here to God's fast. And we'll look at them in the 6th verse. He says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? And the first point is to loose the bands of wickedness, or the coils of wickedness. To loose the coils of wickedness is what the Hebrew brings out. Another translator says, it's the fetters of falsehood. And I thought about it, because at this time that Israel is going, is near the end of the, well, in fact, during the 7 years, they're going to believe a lie, as we read in Thessalonians. They're going to believe the Antichrist, and they're going to have to be released from the bands of that wickedness of the Antichrist. It's going to have to, another rendition says, to dissolve every tie which one has unjustly bound his fellow man. And this is what the Antichrist is going to do, and the false prophet. Now keep in mind, the Antichrist will come from the sea, or out of the Gentile nations. The false prophet comes from the earth, and we have that in Revelation 13. The earth speaking of the Jewish nation. He will be a false prophet. And as we said before, we had that article regarding the successors of the Pope. One of them that is for the foremost in the running to be the next Pope is a Jewish man. So we're very close, and he could be the next one. I don't know how the one that is Pope now even gets around. Man doesn't realize how frail he is. He's not, surely not God. He's not a high priest that can intercede at all. So, to loose the bands of wickedness. Let's read over in Luke, the 4th chapter. It's a devilish thing, this papacy taking the place of Jesus Christ. He too will have to stand before this man. Luke 4, 18 and 19. I love this. You know, we were talking the other day, let's start here in the 16th verse. The scripture that we're going to read here was the scripture that man in the book of Acts, that was the treasurer of the Queen of Sheba. He was reading this when the Lord told Philip to go down there and talk to him. We may turn over there and read that, but let's read this first. All right, Jesus now, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, or had been, he'd been teaching there. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. Can't you imagine the intensity here? And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They knew the Lord had revealed to them, some of them. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This is the one who came to announce this. Let's go over to Acts and read this account where the Philip went down. It's in the 8th chapter of Acts. I love this. In the 26th verse, let's read there. The Lord was blessing Philip in the villages of the Samaritans. But in the 26th verse of the 8th chapter, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he obeyed. He arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace. I said someone else, can't think who I said. But it was under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, this is such a miracle. To me, it's, we cannot deny the fact that the Holy Spirit knows when to send someone at the right time. Here this man was sitting there reading out of a scripture, and Philip just, quote, happened to be there. This is a marvelous thing. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man guide me, or teach me, that has authority? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now this was a man of great importance. In the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led, well this is a little different, I was thinking of the same scripture, but it's just as precious. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Now this is speaking of Jesus. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I just love that. He preached Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He wanted it all, didn't he? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. In passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, how did he get there? The Holy Spirit just picked him up bodily. And took him right back up to Azotus. It seems like he had to walk down there, but when the Lord got through with him, he took him right back up. Isn't that marvelous? The Lord knows when to do things at the right time. We don't have to question him. Praise the Lord. All right, to loose the bands of wickedness, back in Isaiah 58. This time that this is going to be done is going to be during the year of Jubilee, or which is a type of the 1,000 years reign of Christ. This is when Israel as a nation will really begin their day of atonement. Not that Jesus hasn't already accomplished it, but they will accept this, the Christ's atonement. It will be their day of atonement. It's called in Acts 3:21 the times of restitution of all things. Going to be a wonderful time. Praise the Lord. And then the second thing that the concerning the fast that the Lord has chosen is to undo the heavy burdens or loose the bands of the yoke. Over in the book of Nehemiah in the 5th chapter, I like to get scriptures to correspond with these statements. Nehemiah 5, this was when after the 70 years captivity, and the children of Israel that were in Babylon went back in three courses, we'll say, and they, some of them began to use their own brethren in the 5th chapter and the 10th verse. And let's notice here what they do. I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. See, they were taking money, which they shouldn't have done. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, and of the corn, and the wine, and the oil that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. This is quite a book, this book of Nehemiah. I love it. But here some of these of Israel were using or oppressing or putting heavy burdens upon their brethren. And then the third thing here he tells them is to let the oppressed go free. Let's turn to Jeremiah 34:9. You can, and this is what still the nation Israel is doing to some of their own people today. They are oppressing them. Let them go free. Let's read, start with the 8th verse, Jeremiah 34:8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or an Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew, his brother. The man does this, Jew or Gentile alike, man does this to his fellow man. They oppress them, and they're doing it today. Then the fourth here is in this 6th verse, then that ye break every yoke. This is the sin primarily here that man has been yoked with. He served sin. He's been a yoked fellow of sin for thousands of years. And the fast of the Lord is to bring them the word, to break this yoke. And then in the 7th verse, he says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? That's the next one. And we have a scripture in Matthew 25:34. Praise the Lord. Wonderful how the word corresponds. Matthew 25:34. Well, let's start up in the 31st verse. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy, and this are not angels, these are sanctified holy persons. This will be at the end of the 7 years. They're sanctified holy persons. Now, who do you think that is? The church, especially the bride, that's going to be with Christ. He cannot reign until his bride is there. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, with the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. Now this is the fast that he's talking about here. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Any saint that's in need, these are the brethren. This is a fast that we are to reach out and help. This is the one that he has chosen. It's not to go without food. And I've heard of this over the years so much. Different religious groups, they have a period of fasting. And they begin to boast in the fact that they have fasted this many days. And this is what Israel here was doing, and it's nothing that we boast in. This is the fast that the Lord wants us to do. Reach out to others. All right. And then the sixth one, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. This is in the book of Proverbs. This really struck me in studying this today. This 31st chapter of Proverbs is all about, well, from the 10th verse on especially, is all about the virtuous woman who's a type of the bride. So in Proverbs 31 and the 9th verse, read there, and then the 9th verse and then the 20th verse. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. And the 20th verse, this is, notice the she's here. This is the bride in type. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. See, this takes effort, doesn't it? To stretch and to reach, it takes effort. And this is what the bridal company does. And then the next here is when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. In the book of Job, the 31st chapter, as I've studied the word over the years, I have always wanted to understand more of what we are studying concerning. And this is why these scriptures I just want to understand them more. Understand why we do these things. Job 31 and 19 and 20. If I have seen any perish, Job here talking to these, quote, friends, he says, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. Job was a righteous man, and this is something he didn't do. He took care of the poor. He took care, gave them the clothes that they needed, whatever they needed. Job gave them what they needed. And then the last part of this fast in the seventh chapter of the seventh verse of Isaiah 58, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. We were in the fifth chapter of Nehemiah. Let's go back over there. There's a verse there that that just harmonizes with this. Nehemiah 5 and 5. We kind of have to read up above to get the connection here. Let's just start from the first verse. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews, for their word that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now, and this is the verse we want, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. For lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage. Flesh is flesh. That there's a scripture in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It doesn't, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It doesn't matter what natural family we're from. It's still flesh. And so here, when he says, hide not thyself from thine own flesh, he's not talking especially regarding your natural family. He's talking about those of the of humanity. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. They need to be taken care of. So we're to take care of those as the Lord leads and the Holy Spirit opens up the way. All right, any comments on this? these are wonderful truths, and the Holy Spirit gives us the opportunity to keep this fast. This is the Lord's fast. Now, let's read this 8th verse. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy light break forth. I looked up the word break, and it means to be opened or to be ready to burst. It's as the rising sun opens a way through the darkness in our hearts. When the Son of God, the light begins to take effect in our darkened hearts. At first, it's only like, we've all seen the sun rise. It's only like the streaks of red at the morning dawn. But then as the sun gets higher and takes over the day, and this is what the S-O-N, Christ himself, does within us. He takes over this body. Then it just breaks forth. It opens up. The word begins to open up to us. And I love that meaning, be ready to burst. We get so full of the word sometimes that we cannot hardly contain it. We studied at times, and I remember years ago when I was teaching the Psalms, and I would get up early in the morning when we lived where Rob and Patty do, and I'd get up early in the morning to study. And I'd get so full of what the Lord was giving me, I'd have to get up and walk around and, as it were, shake it down and then go back again and study some more and let that shake down. The Psalms are wonderful. They're truths, but the word itself is wonderful. And then he says, thine health shall spring forth speedily. And again, I looked up the word spring, and it means to sprout or to bring forth. The new life in us begins to work. It begins to take effect through the power of the Holy Spirit. It begins to spring forth. In the 45th chapter of Isaiah, haven't you just felt this when the Holy Spirit begins to unveil scriptures to your heart, and you can just, it just seems like it just, I don't know, it's like resurrection. It is. That's what the word is. It's a resurrection power of God. And the word just takes over our life. 45 of Isaiah and the 8th verse. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Praise the Lord. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. What has he created? Righteousness. He's created this. He's created the heavens. He's created the earth. He's created salvation. All of this. He's brought it forth, and he's brought forth righteousness. And that's what he wants us to let the Holy Spirit bring forth. In chapter 57 and the 18th verse, this is regarding the health now, springing forth, 57:18. I have seen his ways, this especially speaking of Israel, and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. In other words, he's going to heal. He's going to come arise. The Son of God is going to rise with healing in his wings, as we read in the book of Malachi. And then the next thing in this 8th verse of Isaiah 58, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. This is a precious part here. And the glory of the Lord, thy reward, it shall follow thee. In the Hebrew, it reads, the glory of Jehovah will gather thee. Isn't that precious? It's going to gather thee. Or keep thee together. Or be thy reward. Another thought is to enclose them with its protection. The glory of the Lord is going to enclose them and keep them, protect them. It's just like when the pillar of fire and the pillar of that pillar of cloud and fire went behind and before Israel. We remember that. Let's read over there. This is the same way as he's going to do in pretty soon for the nation Israel. Exodus 14 in verses 19 and 20. This is a marvelous thing the Lord did for this nation Israel. And he never wanted them to forget what he did, how he delivered them from Egypt. And you know what? The Lord never wants us to forget it either, how he's delivered us out of the world. We've got a lot to thank him for. Exodus 14, 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. See who we have between us and the world. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. That is the Egyptians and the Israelites.